RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms the runway of Soekarno-Hatta has to be added to integrate trains. Australian companies ready to invest in Indonesia. Now the news in detail. In addition to expanding Terminal 3 of Soekarno-Hatta International Airport, President Joko Widodo also asked airport management to integrate the airport with other modes of transportation such as trains. Other than the high-speed train, President Joko Widodo affirmed during his visit to Terminal 3 Ultimate of Soekarno-Hatta Airport that the airport will also be connected with regular trains traveling from Jakarta city center. He plans to develop an automatic people mover system capable of transporting passengers among the existing terminals in Soekarno-Hatta Airport. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also confirmed that he had instructed PT Angkasa Pura II CEO Budi Karya to construct a new runway for the Terminal 3 Ultimate. According to Budi, the land acquisition will be completed this December and will be developed within a year. PT Angkasa Pura II expect it will be done during the Asian Games at the end of 2017. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibarani, said that his office has received a positive signal from Australian business. At least 12 companies from Perus Pills expressed to invest in Indonesia. Frankie Sibarani also said in Jakarta on Tuesday, as quoted from Republika, that 12 Australian companies had Perus Pills, beginning from farms and cattle farming, soft drinks, hydroelectricity, retail of building materials until ship building and dredging service. Thus, the intensive communication will be carried out among the representatives of the Investment Coordinating Board in Sydney, Indonesian Embassy in Canberra, Consulate Generals of Indonesia in Melbourne, Sydney, Perth, and in Darwin. Thus, the investment interest submitted could lead to a commitment to future investment can be realized. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, in cooperation with Indonesia's largest Islamic organization, Nahdlatul Ulama, will establish an Indonesian Islamic Center, IIC, in Kabul, Afghanistan, to strengthen religious cooperation with Afghan clerics. Faisal Ghani Kakar, the founder of Afghanistan Nahdlatul Ulama and independent Nahdlatul Ulama that closely cooperates with the Indonesian Nahdlatul Ulama, said the IIC would be built on a 10,000 square meter plot of land in Kabul's Ahmad Shah Baba Mina area donated by the Afghan government. Kakar also pointed out the IIC would consist of four buildings, including Grand Mosque, where the Afghan Nahdlatul Ulama would deploy one of its clerics to disseminate Islamic teachings, and a library that would comprise books that could teach young Afghani not only about Islam but also Indonesian culture. The center would also have a social house to accommodate exchange visits between Indonesian and Afghan ulamas, where they would come together and learn from each other's experiences. Abdul Hafil, Assistant Deputy on Human Rights Improvement and Protection of the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, said that Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan has given instructions to establish a team to verify reports on the location of mass graves of the 1965 massacre. Abdul also explained that the ministry is currently in the process of discussing the team's operational procedure and members. Abdul also stated that the verification team will question witnesses who supposedly have information on location of the mass grave. Indonesia and Egypt plan to cooperate in the field of train industry. Director General of International Security and Industry Development of Minister of Industry Ahmad Sigit Dwi Wahjono said in the statement on Tuesday that PT Industri Kereta Api plans to hold industrial and trade cooperation agreement with one of the leading state-owned enterprises in Egypt for the procurement of railway carriage and tracks heads as well as building maintenance and repair facilities in Egypt. Sigit also said that the agreement will be implemented in a short time. He added that the plan is part of reutilization of cooperation among developing countries that are members of Developing Aid, consisting of Indonesia, Bangladesh, Egypt, Iran, Malaysia, Nigeria, Pakistan, and Turkey. These countries have agreed and are committed to increasing cooperation in industrial sector. Indonesia will host the 41st annual meeting of the Islamic Development Bank IDB. This meeting will be held at the Jakarta Convention Center in Jakarta on 15 until 19th of May. Andin Hadianto, advisor to the Minister of Finance in Macroeconomic and International Cooperation, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the event will be attended by 2,700 delegates from 56 member countries of Islamic Development Bank. The delegation is comprised of ministers, senior government official leaders of Islamic Development Bank, business people and local participants. The theme of the annual session is enhancing the growth and property allocation through infrastructure development. It said the theme is in line with the condition of the member countries of the IDB, which are developing countries. This forum is valuable for Indonesia to develop Syria economy.
Di forum ini tentunya menjadi sangat bermanfaat bagi Indonesia.
These forums will be very beneficial to Indonesia, where at this time the economic role of Syria in Indonesia is still very limited. So it is still 5% and we will expand to become bigger in the future. And this is a good opportunity in Indonesia to increase its capacity. There are 56 countries. There are a wide variety of expert professionals, entrepreneurs in the field of Syria that can take advantage of this forum. Andin Hadianto further explained that at the annual meeting, Indonesia and the Islamic Development Bank will also sign a strategy partnership framework among member states in 2016-2020. The partnership framework focuses on infrastructure development, human development, Syria financing system, the increased role of the private sectors and reverse linkage program. The National Development Planning Agency BAPNAS and European Union Embassy to Indonesia launched the Blue Book 2016 in Jakarta on Wednesday. Hinis Rimat, European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Geran, said that the Blue Book 2016 is an annual report of European Union-Indonesian development cooperation. Ambassador Vincent also said the annual report both reflects European Union commitment in bolstering the development and reform in Indonesia.
I'm delighted to launch the Blue Book 2016, which is our report on the European-Indonesian Development Cooperation for 2015. The decision to have the launch of this Blue Book indeed illustrates the importance that we give to our bilateral cooperation, which has led to reforms and tangible reforms.
Moreover, Ambassador Vincent also said that over the last 10 years, the European Union has donated more than €500 million grant to Indonesia. He added that the grant is allocated to basic education, government management, forest and land use, and climate change sectors. European Union Ambassador Vincent also pointed out the European assistance is also broad to support other sectors such as trade, economic development, health services. Meanwhile, Deputy of Development Funding Section at BAPNAS, Wismana Adi Suryabrata, hopes the launching of the Blue Book 2016 can provide information for the parties in need as part of Indonesian commitment to holding efficient, effective, and transparent development. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Slow Pace of Investment Realization. Since September 2015, Indonesian government under President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla has issued 12 packages of economic policy in the context of deregulation and debureaucratization. to speed up the economy. Unfortunately, aggressiveness in making the policies is not followed by aggressiveness in its implementation. The slow pace of implementation of economic policy packages is to be one of the root causes that make the investment sluggish. According to data of the Indonesian Coordinating Investment Board, BKIPM, there is commitment to high investment, but the realization is very disappointing. The sluggish investment also caused Indonesia left behind in the realm of the ease of doing business than some neighboring countries. High investment commitment demonstrates major potential of Indonesia and the interests of investors. However, the low realization of investment shows that the steps taken so far have not been enough to convince investors to invest. In fact, the government has to make a lot of the breakthrough to achieve economic recovery and attract investors. In improving the investment climate, the government has issued a one-stop licensing policy launched in January 2016. In addition, the government has also removed fuel subsidies, made fast reforms and tax amnesty, and has intensified the development of infrastructure. The government has responded to the macroeconomic adjustment related to increased risk of global economy, especially the current account deficit, which is also a concern of investors. Although the government has done much to attract investors, the realization of investment in Indonesia is still low. There had been a lot of complaints disclosed by the investors. The government can resolve issues such as land acquisition and high economic costs, as well as labor issues, taxation, and synchronization of central and regional policies. Nevertheless, the progress of economic reforms that the government has done is one of reasons why debt rating agency Standard & Poor's still maintains Indonesian debt rating 1 point below the investment grade. If the government cannot cope with the slow implementation of the economic policy packages, there will not an upgrade rating to investment grade. Even the investment grade will be lower if the government cannot address the economic slowdown that comes from the government's inability to overcome persistent obstacles to investment. President Joko Widodo has instructed his staff to immediately implement the existing economic policy packages to make sure that all these packages are not just a wish list without real effect in the field. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event on May 12, 1965, when International Nurse Day, IDN, was celebrated. International Nurses Day, INT, is celebrated around the world on 12th of May each year to mark the contribution of nurses to the society. The date was taken from the birth of Florence Nightingale, a nurse who was considered as the founder of modern nurse. Florence was born on May 12, 1820 in Florence City, Italy. She was well known as the lady with the lamp on her service who fearlessly at night to collect the victims of war in the Crimean War and the Crimean Peninsula, Russia. The next event was in 1988 when the Trisakti shootings occurred. The Trisakti shootings occurred at the Trisakti University of Jakarta Indonesia on 12th of May 1998. The background of the incident was due to Indonesia's economy beginning to falter. In early 1998, affected by the Asian financial crisis within 1997-1999, most students, especially Trisakti University students, staged a massive demonstration at the building of the House of the Representatives People's Council Assembly in Jakarta. They held a peaceful action from Trisakti campus towards the Parliament building, but their action was hampered by blockade of police and the military came later. The security forces began to shoot towards students. The students were panicked and ran. Most shelters at Trisakti University for students were shot dead and dozens were injured in the incident. And the last event was in 2008 when Great Sichuan Earthquake occurred. The 2008 Sichuan Earthquake or the Great Sichuan Earthquake occurred on May 12th in Sichuan Province. killed 69,197 people and left 18,222 missing. It is also known as the Wenchuan earthquake after the location of the earthquake epicenter, Wenchuan County, Sichuan. The earthquake was also felt in nearby countries and as far away as both Beijing and Shanghai. General Secretary of and President Hu Jintao announced the disaster response would be rapid, just 90 minutes after the earthquake. Premier Wen Jiabao, who has an academic background in geomechanics, flew to earthquake area to oversee the rescue work. Soon afterwards, the Minister of Health said that it had sent 10 emergency medical teams to Wenchuan County. On the same day, the Chengdu Military Region Command dispatched 50,000 troops and armed police to help disaster relief work in Wenchuan County. Beijing accepted the aid of Tzu Jin Foundation from Taiwan late on May 13. Tzu Jin was the first force from outside the People's Republic of China to join the rescue effort. China stated it would gratefully to accept international help to cope with the quake. Executive Vice Governor Wen Hon confirmed on November 21, 2008, that more than 90,000 people in total were dead and missing in the earthquake. Listener, that's Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. It's nice to be with you again in our regular program, Focus. The theme of today's focus is President Joko Widodo requesting all parties to be ready to face ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. President Joko Widodo reminds that if there is no improvement in the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, other countries will be more advantageous than Indonesia. Thus, there should be improvement in various sectors, including regulation. In the Indonesian Investing in Sustainable Development taking place in Jakarta on last Saturday, President Joko Widodo remarked that Indonesia should be able to win the competition of free trade among the countries in ASEAN. One way is to deregulate some stumbling rules. He said that the government's move is sometimes limited with self-made rules. There are 42,000 rules across Indonesia. President Joko Widodo also mentioned a great number of rules often made the government slow in making decisions. In fact, economic changes happen very quickly. With the great number of the existing rules, the speed to act and to decide is too slow. In fact, the political changes in the global economy are taking place faster in every minute, every day, and every week. All of this can be anticipated if there is flexibility in regulation. Meanwhile, in a different place, President Joko Widodo, before the student at the boarding school Dormitory Islam University, API, Tegal Rejo, Magelang Central Java, said that today is an era of rivalry or competition. The competition is not only among individual cities or provinces, but also among countries. As quoted at the website of the Cabinet Secretary on last Friday, he said that the competition has already begun since the beginning of January with the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. He added that with the AEC, competition among countries in ASEAN could no longer be rejected. Foreign nationals can go to Indonesia and vice versa. President Joko Widodo also remarked one country to another country in ASEAN region has no limits anymore. Thus, he reminds that the students have to be ready to face and win this competitive era by elevated knowledge, hard work and experience. The former Jakarta governor also expressed that the students have to be professional in their job without any compulsion, so they may work with a sense of being sincere and happy. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. In addition to expanding Terminal 3 of the Soekarno-Hatta International Airport, President Joko Widodo also asked airport management to integrate the airport with other modes of transportation such as trains. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibrani, said that his office has received a positive signal from Australian business. At least 12 companies from various fields expressed to invest in Indonesia. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister, in cooperation with Indonesia's largest Islamic organization, Nahdlatul Ulama, will establish an Indonesian Islamic Center, IIC, in Kabul, Afghanistan, to strengthen religious cooperation with Afghan clerics. Abdul Hafil, Assistant Deputy of Human Rights Improvement and Protection of the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, said the Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan has given instruction to establish a team to verify reports on the location of mass graves of the 1965 massacre. Indonesia and Egypt plan to cooperate in the field of train industry. Director General of International Security and Industry Development of the Ministry of Industry, Ahmad Sigit Dwi Wahjono, said in the statement on Tuesday that PT Industri Kereta Api plans to hold industrial and trade cooperation agreement with one of the leading state-owned enterprises in Egypt. Indonesia will host the 41st annual meeting of the Islamic Development Bank IDB. This meeting will be held at the Jakarta Convention Center in Jakarta on 15 until 19th of May. Andin Hadianto, advisor to the Minister of Finance in Macroeconomic International Cooperation, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the event will be attended by 2,700 delegates from 56 member countries of Islamic Development Bank. The National Development Planning Agency, BAPNAS, and European Union Embassy to Indonesia launched the Blue Book 2016 in Jakarta on Wednesday. In his remark, European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Geran, said the Blue Book 2016 is an annual report of European Union-Indonesian development cooperation. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit North Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Sulawesi is not only rich with marine tourism, the region also rich with art and culture. The province is a place that live three major ethnic groups that affected the social life of the community and culture. Minahasa ethnic people is the largest ethnic group in the province and affect many people's lives in North Sulawesi. Minahasa people still continue to maintain the diversity of art and culture until nowadays. one that still retained is Kabasaran dance. Kabasaran is a traditional dance of the Minahasa community. Formally, the dance is actually a kind of war dance that is performed by several men. The word of Kabasaran comes from wasal, which means a rooster, that the comb is cut so that it will be more ferocious in battle. The dancers are called Kawasalan, which means dancing to follow mimic of the rooster's movement in fighting. Kawasalan was later developed into Kabasaran, which is a combination of two words, kawasal ni sarian. Kawasal means to accompany and follow the movements of the dance, whereas sarian is the warlord who leads the traditional soldiers' dance of Minahasa. The development of Manado Malay language then changed the letter W to B, so that the word was changed to Kabasaran, which actually does not have any connection with the word big in Indonesian, but eventually became a dance for welcoming dignitaries. Listener, Kabasaran dance movement relatively energetic and symbolizes the spirit of a warrior and also dynamic to the rhythm of a musical instrument. Kabasaran dance movement led by a leader called Tombolu, who is selected in accordance with the agreement of the indigenous elders. In general, the basic structure consists of 9 moves of sword called Santi, or 9 moves of spear called Wengkau, with the horses riding stances, which consist of 2 steps to the left and 2 steps to the right. They dance while carrying a legacy sword. The dance is generally composed of 3 rounds, firstly called Cakalele, which comes from the word Saka, which means competing, and Lele means jumping. The part used to be danced when the warrior is going to war or when coming back from the war. This act shows the ferocity of fighting to the great guest to give a sense of security to the great guest who come to visit. The second part is called Kumoyak, which comes from the word koyak, means swinging the sword or spear up and down, back and forth, to relieve themselves of anger when fighting. And the last part is lalayaan. In this part, all dancers dancing free and delighted. Listeners, Kabasaran dance is accompanied by the sound of drums or small gong. There is also percussion instrument such as gong, drums, or kolintang called pawasalan. Clothing that is used in the dance made of original woven fabric of Minahasa and Patola woven, namely red woven fabric from Tombolu. Besides using the fabric, the dancers also wore Kabasaran hat. The original Kabasaran hat, made of headband cloth with feathers, ornament of rooster, taong bird, and birds of paradise. There is also ornament of flower stalks, canyons of diwoho. Other decorative ornaments called lele or necklace, wongkur, rereng en, or little clock bells or bells made of brass. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Kabasaran Dance. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Thank you.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to Miscellany. In today's edition, we'll give you an information about the implementation of FIFO system at Soekarno-Hatta Airport. Stay tuned. Listener, in this 4 months period, the first-in, first-out or FIFO system beginning to be applied for taxi operator in 1A terminal of Soekarno-Hatta Airport. The FIFO system is an application that regulates taxi line all taxis operator in the airport. The passengers can take taxi according to the line. The new system is considered efficient for passenger in searching for taxi in any terminals of the airport. Before the implementation of FIFO system, the Soekarno-Hatta Airport using random and unreliable system to regulate taxi line. It becomes overcrowded and irregular. The system hopefully can regulate taxi line better than before. Not only the taxi line that becomes in order, the system is also used for passengers. One particular place is choose for passengers to wait the spot. Soekarno-Hatta International Airport has its own standardization for taxi. 3 years is the standard aspect for the age of taxis in the airport. It is aimed to get qualified service for the passengers. For the last 4 months, the FIFO system has a positive response from the passengers. However, Indonesian Consumers Foundation Agency feared there are several things that need to be fixed in this FIFO system. One of them is the sanction. To maintain the service quality, Soekarno-Hatta Airport Management has to be able to give sanction, especially to the unqualified taxi operator that are not fulfilling the standard requirement. With the positive response from the passengers and the Consumer Agencies Foundation, hopefully, PT Angkasa Pura II will implement FIFO system for other terminals in the Soekarno-Hatta Airport. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany about the implementation of FIFO system at Soekarno-Hatta Airport. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We meet again in the next edition of Miscellany. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Amir Faisal.
Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Symphony Yang Indah. Happy listening.
Alun sebuah simfoni, kata hati disadari, merasuk sukma kalbuku dalam hati ada satu manis lembut bisikanmu. Merdu lirik suaramu bagai pelita hidupku, berkilauan bintang malam, syindir angin pun sejuk, seakan hidup mendatang aku tempuh denganmu. Beradunya dua insan, simfoni dan keindahan, melahirkan kedamaian, melahirkan kedamaian.
The song's success to make Amir Faisal became an Indonesian pop singer around 1980s. The song, which was composed by Robbie Lea, became a hit in the music charts in the country after it has been dedicated by Amir Faisal. Even many other Indonesian pop singers joined to release the song Simfoni Yang Indah, such as Bob Tutupoli and Once, who was joined in the Dewa 19 group. Before we get to know more, Amir Faisal, who started his career as the winner of the Radio and Television Singing Competition, or Bintang Radio dan Televisi. Let's listen to the next song entitled Mimpi Yang Mungil by Amir Faisal. Happy listening.
Pertama aku jumpa selingkar awan hitam berlari dariku, malamnya datang tak diundang lewat satu mimpi yang mungil. Ketika mimpiku ceritakan ada senyum di sudut bibirnya, sekarang dia kalungkan janji bulan merah senyum untukku. Oh mimpiku, oh mimpiku, datanglah dengan satu kenyataan yang jelas.
The singers of the 70s to 80s era in Indonesia were mostly born from the era that testing the vocal capabilities like Titiek Puspa, Harvey Palaiholo, including Amir Faisal. Amir Faisal won the BRTV, or Bintang Radio Televisi, singing competition of entertainment category in the 1980s. Since at that time, his singing career decisively began to explore the Indonesian pop music world. But from many albums, only one song that is likened by Indonesian fans in the country, namely Symphony Yang Indah. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kau and Cinta by Amir Faisal. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Pernah miskin akan doa kau yang menyalakan pelita dalam hidupku, jadi penerang jalanku langkah demi langkah. Berjuta mawar di hatiku, kau ilham bagi syair dan laguku, hatimu dan tutur sapamu menyejuk jiwa. Jadi pasti aku rela membagi kasih denganmu, walau ku tahu beribu tantangan untukmu. Selalu merindukanku, kau ilham bagi syair dan laguku, hatimu dan tutur sapamu penyejuk jiwaku. Jadi pasti aku rela membagi kasih denganmu, walau ku tahu beribu tantangan untukku. Aku rela
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Kegurung engkau turut kekutu, engkau ikut bersama sehidup semati. Demikian kau ucapkan janji, menangis kita berdua, tertawa bersama. Tapi kini apa yang terjadi? Segalanya kau tak peduli lagi. Nadia lebih menghancurkan kalbu. Kau bercumbu di depanku. Oh Tuhan, tunjukkanlah dosa dan salahku. Mudahnya ia buat janji, semudah ia ingkar janji. Alangkah kejamnya cinta, alangkah pedihnya.
Shoo, shoo, Atap matamu bagai busur panah yang kau lepaskan ke jantung hatiku. Meski kau simpan cintamu masih tetap nafasmu wangi hiasi suasana. Saat ku kejut manis bibirmu, cintaku tak
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.